Today we are privileged to baptize not one but two babies, Gardner at 9:30 and Hayes, into our church family. What a wonderful occasion and a joyous opportunity to celebrate the sacrament, to take on the responsibility of nurturing two more young souls in the faith. That is what we just promised, isn't it? That as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, we promise to nurture and guide our baptized children by word and deed, with love and prayer, encouraging them to know and follow Christ and to be faithful members of His church. I am confident, APC, that you will fulfill that promise to Gardner and to Hayes. Some of you will volunteer in the nursery and in the promise class. Many of you will teach Sunday school and help with youth group and vacation Bible school. Some of you will write encouraging letters and send care packages to our college students. APC is very good at fulfilling our promises to our baptized children and our confirmed youth. So as we nurture our children in the faith, what is it that we hope that they will learn about God, about the Christian life? How can we help them grow into mature Christians? How can we nurture such faith in them that they can stand strong in a world where it's increasingly difficult to know what is right and just? At the risk of sounding overly simplistic, I believe our scripture readings today point to at least two truths that we can teach them. First, that God's love is unconditional and ever-present. And secondly, that the Christian life calls all of us to be mindful of God's work in the world and to share in that work. Paul, in the book of Romans, assures us that God's love for us is so great that nothing can separate us from it. Nothing. Neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth. Nothing in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Not our pain, not our illness, not our past mistakes and failures, not divorce, not despair, not feelings of hopelessness, nothing. God's love for us stands firm, even when we are weak. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And when we are weak, God's Spirit helps us in our weakness, interceding for us with sighs deeper than even words. Christ Himself intercedes for us, and God is able to use those events that reflect the depth of human sorrow and turn them for good. If God is for us, we can have the strength to face anything. In today's world of conflicting messages, that is good news. Whatever else is uncertain in our lives, God's love for us is unconditional. Let's teach our children to know that and to look for evidence of that love in the world. It's not an easy society in which to raise children these days. Maybe it never has been. But especially today, surrounded by fake news and excessive vitriol on all political sides, let's teach our children that God is stronger than all of that. Let's show them that there is evidence of the kingdom of God all around us. Let's teach them how to look for glimpses of that kingdom here on earth. Jesus taught his disciples what the kingdom of heaven is like, using everyday items such as mustard seeds and yeast. He He taught them that the kingdom of heaven is hidden in small things that become great. A tree from seed, bread transformed by yeast, a treasure of unspeakable joy, a pearl of surpassing value, from insignificance to transforming power. These parables about the kingdom of heaven in the Gospel of Matthew were meant to encourage those early Christians. They were waiting for the kingdom of God to transform their lives, but evidence of that transformation was hard to find. You see, Matthew's community were Jews who had decided to follow Christ, but they were still Jews. The entire Jewish community was in turmoil following the destruction of the temple by the Romans in Jerusalem in 70 AD. The temple had been the center of Jewish life. Now there was a chaos of leadership. Were the priests still in charge? Or was it the Pharisees now? Matthew's community looked for signs of hope that the world would right itself. They found that hope in the promises of Jesus. The reign of God, the kingdom of God, in troubled times may seem like sheer weakness, invisible, no more than an insignificant mustard seed hidden away in the deep soil, a couple of teaspoons of yeast absorbed into the dough, a treasure buried in the ground. But God's presence and power is at work in the world, even when we fail to notice it. The kingdom of heaven is here, even when we fail to perceive it. God is at work, transforming the world. As one commentator put it, we should trust in the expanse of God's kingdom, even when it appears that nothing at all is happening, when it seems as if there are no places for the birds to nest and no bread to feed the hungry crowds. The world is not being transformed as quickly into the kingdom of God as we would like it to, but God has incredible patience, waiting for seeds to grow, bread to rise, treasure to be found. Where do you see God at work today? Is it in the face of your child, your elderly parent? Is it in the random acts of kindness we perform for each other? Is it in a marriage that has survived struggle? Is it in the overcoming of an addiction? Is it in the beauty of the natural world? You know the kingdom of God when you see it. God is at work all around us. We are part of that kingdom, that kingdom of heaven that is present and growing, and that one day will encompass creation far beyond our imagining. God's realm is as close as the next mustard seed or loaf of bread. So, Gardner, so Hayes, and all God's children, take heart. Like the fish caught in the net, God will sort everything out. God's love is real, and that's what we want you to know. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.